better pressure Thursday night. You still don't have any sacks from your first group. Is that a concern, or is that just a product of being vanilla at this point, or where do you stand with that?
It's not a concern at all. Again, we talk about it often, but are we moving the quarterback off his spot? And the interception, for instance, the other night, we had two guys move him off his spot. He was on the move. He tried to make a big throw. The ball went high. We had a turnover. It wasn't a sack, but it was a turnover. So when you study the tape over and over again, you see who's moving the quarterback off his spot. That is more important to us than the sacks are, because other things happen when you move them off the spot. The rhythm of the offense is broken down. Incomplete passes, turnovers, all those things are tied to it.
So you have that play. How did Nolan, in general, how did Nolan, he had a pick on the play you're talking about.
Yes.
How did he grade out in his first game?
Real well. You know, Nolan had a nice grasp of the defense. You saw we put the dime package out there, and he was part of the dime. So we wanted to take a look at that and see how that played out, and we were happy with it. Kit stayed real basic with it. It was four-man rush, and we played coverage, but the pass rush improved. I think we've seen a steady incline in the production of the four-man rush. Guys are working more moves, and they're getting better at the moves they're working, and I think it showed in that game a little bit.
You talked about them competing, but I mean, we're pretty deep in the camp here. Can you definitively say if Brad is still the starter and Nolan's?
Nothing's in stone yet. I don't want to go ahead with another game left and say who's a starter, who's not. A lot of it, you know, is pretty much there. I would say it's still all penciled in. Anything can happen. You know, we've got another 2 weeks of practice and another game, so it's getting closer and closer.
Bradley going to play on Thursday night?
I don't know. We haven't decided everybody yet. There's certain guys that are and are not. Probably not, but I don't want to say definitively because we're not positive. We still have to get through these practices, what injuries happen, who gets tweaked, who doesn't get tweaked, everything that goes with it. We're falling down. So it's, you know, we're still discussing exactly who's up and who's not, and it can change with availability of players and injuries that could happen, so nothing's in stone yet.
You mentioned the dime package a minute ago. Do you have an idea for how you want to use that, use it a lot on third down, or just kind of what are your plans there?
It's really another tool that the coaching staff now has to defend multiple receiver personnel groups. If we have a tight end that's always releasing, you can go to that package. A lot of teams have the tight end that still is intact and they still could run the ball. So you move in and out of nickel dime and see who they are, who you are, what your matchups are like. It's great to have that other tool, though, in place to activate, to help us get off the field on third down.
Bill, you have some interesting decisions to make at linebacker. You said that Canoe,
That was cross-training?
Out.
Yeah, we've got a handful of inside-outside backers that are cross-training, and those are the three. It's Casey and Josh and Travis. Yeah.
It looks like the first three inside linebackers are set. How do you see that fourth spot? If they're going to keep four, how do you see that playing out with
It's all up for grabs still. We still have another week of evaluating, so I don't want to cut the team right now or make any decisions. They're all in the mix. They're all neck and neck, so we'll pick the best 53 that we can pick, and how those numbers pan out will be dictated on this preseason game and the rest of practice. But there were hard cuts yesterday, and we'll have even harder cuts next week, which is a great feeling. They're real hard decisions. You agonize over which way you go, and that means that the roster is growing and we're getting stronger and stronger in our depth, and it's hard on us, but it's a positive for the organization.
Brad, what chance did you see Brandon Bear having the role that he's had in his defense during the preseason? And what have you seen from him in particular that's gotten him more playing time?
Brandon Bear, you saw it in practice squad last year. He is really what a two-gapper mostly looks like. I know in my career, along the years, those the big bodies, the guys that can really hold the point and set a wall there. Brandon has just steadily got better. He's a very hard worker, highly intelligent guy. So he's a great addition. And am I surprised? No, I'm not surprised. It's about what I expected from watching him from last year.
Bradley Fletcher's had a few penalties out there in the secondary. Has the transition to the new way that they're calling the illegal contact been especially challenging for him?
No, I wouldn't single him out because the penalties are across the board and it's some of the way they're calling it is difficult, and we're continually trying to figure out both how to teach them and how to work it in practice. These receivers are running right up on their toes, and if someone's going to run right into you, you naturally put your hands out to stop, and then they veer off, and you got your hand out and we get called. So we're getting better about the easier calls. We didn't get flagged as often, but there's still some work we need as a group to figure out how to make sure that we're doing it the right way and we're not getting these called on us.
Could you trace Nate Allen's, where he was when you came in and where he is now and why there's such a difference?
I would put Nate in the same category as Michael Kendricks and some of the other guys that now that we are year two in a scheme and the words haven't changed on them, we did not change the scheme on them, the structure's in place. I think they're big concept learners, and with some people, when you learn the concept and understand the concept, now the details become easier. And I think we've seen Nate grow because his understanding is now letting him calm. His mind is slowed down, and he's seeing more because he understands his landmarks. He understands where his eyes need to be placed. He understands the two-gap system of not having a safety be a primary run defender. I think all those things are growing, and you see Nate play better and better.
Bill, you were talking about the dime a second ago. And how much more, I guess, when you can add a package that you feel really comfortable, how much more comfortable do you feel being able to call different things in situations when you have more stuff at your disposal that you believe in?
I think it makes it easier for us defensively and harder on opposing offenses. They've got to now say, okay, there's this other package they have, and let's identify who's who and where they blitz from and what coverages and what rushes and what formation structures are coming at us defensively. So it's another tool for us. It grows our package. You can't put it all in and have it all in year one. That's the hardest part of year one, is that you have to just have a foundation. Your foundation is usually small, but you need it sturdy that you can start stacking these other things on top of. And in year two, we're slowly starting to stack some other defensive tools that we can use to stop the offenses that are coming at us.
Is that Reynolds caught up?
Yeah, he has. That's a big obstacle to overcome, the being, gone in the offseason. We're getting a lot of those reps that are real vital to rookies. I think he's done a great job of picking up the scheme and not having a lot of mental errors, which is the tough part about not being here in the offseason.
Like, I'm blitzing on Thursday, but the fact that the Jags named Chad Henne the starter, has that allowed you to start working on that week one game?
Right now, I'm looking at all of them. We're looking at both quarterbacks. We're looking at their offense in general, the structures. They're very similar quarterbacks. They really are. I've watched a lot of both of them. And the young kid Bortles is really making some beautiful throws. Henny's hanging in there. He's doing a nice job. So I still think you could have either one thrown at you. Henne starts the game. That's great. But they are. It's not like you're playing one drop back and one movement guy or vice versa. They're real similar. I don't think the offense changes with whoever's in there. So whoever they throw at us, we'll be ready for, and I don't think it's going to drastically make you have two different type game plans.
Seems like you blitzed a little bit more the other night. It was the defense that we saw, a little bit more of a representation of what we should expect.
I've worked off the same call sheet for all the preseason games, and they're base calls that we have. And we did run a couple more. Some of it was due to I had to play some safeties at corner in order to get that ball out of the hand a little quicker so they wouldn't have to cover as long. I tried to blitz a little bit more to help benefit that. And then there were some opportunities that we just saw in protection to run a base pressure, and we did it. I don't think it was a whole lot more when I looked at the numbers, but they were coming unblocked a couple of times, which was nice.
Would you say that Nate Allen has kind of taken that job away from Earl Wolf, or is that still kind of...
It's not over yet. I think Nate has a lead, but it's not over. We'll continue to watch this preseason game and see how it goes. I hate, like I said, cutting the team right now or even saying who's in the lineup. The one thing about this roster is you make the 53 and you're active, you're going to play, and we rotate. We rotate all of them. They're all playing. They all count. We hate saying 11 starters. We've got these different packages now. Just because we start with dime, does that mean the nose isn't a starter? You start in base. It's a picking the 53 best and then using the packages within that, and starter backup is really not that important.
Jim mentioned that Earl needs all the reps he can get right now. What kind of progress are you seeing from him?
I think it's a lot like the Nate Allen conversation from a minute ago. Earl was a rookie last year, and now he's a second year, and as he understands his assignments better, they play faster. It's all players. The more clear understanding, not I think I know, but I know what to do, your eyes are in the right spot, now you're running and playing, and you're the football player that we really saw in college. Because in college, at the senior or junior year, that's where they are in those systems. They're really sure what they're supposed to do, and they do it fast. When you come here and give them all new words, they slow down. They don't look as athletic sometimes, and then lights go on, and they pick their speed up, and their athleticism looks cleaner, and it's just a growth that he's going through.
Malcolm Jenkins made a play in the game on Thursday, broke up a pass in the open field that was intended for Antonio Brown. How significant was that play to you? When you watched the film and saw that play, what did it tell you about Malcolm's skill set?
Well, not only Malcolm, we're all tied together. The pass rush was very good on that play, and we moved the quarterback off the spot. So then it was a kind of a backyard football play, and everybody was scrambling to stay attached, and Malcolm did a great job of staying attached to his coverage and then making a play underneath. And really, the thing that impressed me more than that, if he'd have missed that, it could have been a big play, but Bradley Fletcher was coming over the top in one of his concepts that he understands now, and he'd have been there to make that play had Malcolm not. So I love the growth of the defense. I love the understanding of the players, and Malcolm's a great addition in that area.
Watkins, or inside or out?
Right now we've got Jalen is inside competing for a backup nickel position or the nickel position. He's grown as the corner. You know, he's done everything. The neat part about Jalen is the fact that he can play outside at corner, he can play inside at nickel, and in college he played safety. Now, I don't think he's got the understanding of safety yet, but he really is a three-position potential player for us. And right now, as young as he is, we're just growing corner and nickel and see where that takes us.
I know you don't want to give anything away, but the dime package aside, what are some other things that you've kind of stacked on top of the foundation you were talking about that you've already shown in the preseason games?
Well, I think we've grown some coverage concepts. We've added about three or four coverage concepts that we've worked a lot of in the preseason that we didn't have last year, that were routes that were beating the coverages we had in place last year. These coverages take away those routes. Every coverage can be beat and attacked, and you're weak in some places. Then you move the coverage around, and it's tough for them to actually hit the pattern that beats that coverage. And we were lacking a couple coverage concepts last year because of what I talked about earlier. It would have been too much too early. So we took what we had last year, and we built on, kind of filled in the holes that we needed. Oh, there was different. I couldn't get in. There's not one route. I mean, we gave up obviously way too many passing yards last year. So in general, you could just say, hopefully this will help tighten our coverage down and not give up the yards that we gave up last year.
In Brandon Graham's case, what can he do to be more than a situational pass rusher?
Well, there's only 11 guys that can start, and this is a great. Brandon is a good pass rusher. He's a good outside backer, but you're competing and he's rotating in. So it's a great problem to say, okay, why can't all these guys play? Why can't Vinny be in every play? Why can't Brandon be in every play? Well, there's other good players in there too. And what we're trying to do is get the great mix of reps during a game that they all play, like I talked about earlier. If you're active for us, you're playing. And the more production you have in game, the more we'll give you. But there's different packages. Every player has different strengths and weaknesses. It's our job as a staff to make sure that we've got the most guys playing to their strengths. But within that, you're going to have some guys not playing to their strengths. So you just try to balance that as a defensive staff and get the players out there as often as you can in the positions that they – position of strength for them. But there's 11 of them you're trying to work through that with.
Brandon better at the – you talk about the going forward, the natural part, the going backward. Is he better at it than at the end of last year?
Absolutely. I think – and I said that after the game, that in the outside backer world – you're built to go forward, and you have the great pass rushers that usually struggle to drop. And you have to work hard to get those great pass rushers to learn how to drop in a 3-4. The flip end of that, you got a great athlete that can cover anybody in space, but maybe not is the skilled pass rusher. So you're working with him on pass rush. I think our guys that were better pass rushers are moving forward, Trent Cole, Brandon, they are now dropping much better than they did a year ago. So and Brandon particularly is, yes.
In your mind, I mean, Trent did it all last year, so he had a little bit more advantage. You guys talk about, is he still ahead of Brandon as far as being able to be the complete package?
I think they're pretty close. They're pretty close, but Trent is still ahead. That's why he's out there more. You know, and at the end of the day, we have to pick one or make a decision who's going to dominate, and that falls on our lap, and right now that's where that is.
Joe Kruger's a guy that you brought in as a developmental guy a couple years ago. Had to make the decision to cut him. Can you just talk about sort of what went into the decision process?
Really, what happened at the end of the day was it was another hard decision, and we've got a lot of young, big two-gap in competition going on. Those are hard defensive line decisions to make because there's so many good young ones. And at the end of the day, we've got to just finally make a final decision, and that's what we did with Joe. And but Joe was coming along. It's a shame he missed all of last year with the injury, so that hurt. But from there, Joe did everything we asked him when he was here, and this offseason just got beat out by some other young players.